afraid to rumble.
All right, guys, thanks for chowing down. There's still food left, so go clean up whatever you want. You know, you can take it in your stomach. You can take it in a bag. I don't care, but you can get rid of that. I'm Brian Hedges, pastor here at Heartland. So thankful to have everybody out today and looking forward to what we're going to have in the Word. And I hate to break up the fellowship, but I want to introduce my brother Ray. For you, HBF, Ray Stewart and I go way back. And most of you have heard Ray at either a men's conference or here at church preaching. But if you haven't, man, this is going to be a treat. And you're going to want me to, you know, have him back every week. So I'm looking forward to hear what our brother Ray has. So I just thank you all for coming out. And I love you, Ray. Appreciate you and Dawn and everything that God's done in your life. So come on up and preach to us. Give him a good HBF welcome.
Thank you. Check, check. One, there you go. Amen. Well, I told Brian I wanted to go ahead and get started because I know a lot of you guys have other things that you got to do today. So we want to get in and out. But if you're still eating, just go ahead and eat and get some more. And all right, do what you got to do. Okay, let's look to the Lord before we get started. And let's pray that he speaks to us today. Amen. Father, Lord, we come before you, Lord, and I just thank you for men. And Lord, clearly you have, according to your word, given instruction to us as men that you want to use us. You want to accomplish your purposes through us. And Lord, my heart is always that you would allow me to be used in the lives of men to challenge them, to have them challenge me, to pierce our hearts, Lord, because you know that we are in a period where we have become effeminate. Lord, we're not leading our homes. Lord, we have allowed ourselves to be entangled with the affairs of this life. And Lord, I pray that every time you give any of us the opportunity to minister one to another, that we would encourage each other, that we would challenge each other. And Lord, we have to have ears to hear. So Lord, I pray that this morning as you speak through me, Lord, and always I pray that you would increase and I would decrease, Lord. And I pray that you are seen through what is taught and heard through what comes from my mouth as we proclaim the truth that comes out of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So right now, our church is I'm laying out this series in our church that speaks specifically through seven attributes that the Lord Jesus Christ displayed through his physical body as the body of Christ that we are to be displaying as the body of Christ. So we need to look no farther than him and what it is that he did to have an understanding of who we are to be in this world as he was when he came to this world to minister to people doing the work of the Lord. So right now, I believe that we're in a dispensation of time here on earth, like the dispensations that were before us, where God has a plan and a purpose for what we are to be, right? And I say this all the time. There's a reason that we're called human beings, not human doings, and we are supposed to do, but the reason that we do is because we're called to be. And you can't do anything for God before you're being what God intends for you to be. So every one of us that are in this room, and I'm glad we have a female here because she's included in this as well. have been called to be a preacher of righteousness. That's not left only to pastors. That's left to anyone who is a believer, that we need to be preachers of righteousness. We are the people that God has left here. And what we're to be doing is proclaiming the truth of God, sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world during these final moments in history as we know it. And what we've been is entrusted with a book, the Word of God. And what we're to be doing is reaching the masses. And the masses is dependent upon who you are, where you are, what you're doing, right? God has placed you in a circle of influence of people that you need to be reaching. You need to be reaching however many people God places in your life. You need to be reaching them. You live in a neighborhood. You have a home. You have family. You've got people that need to be reached. And if they're ever going to be reached, it's going to be because in boldness, we were willing to step outside of our circumstances, our situations, our things, the stuff we deal with, to make sure that we're impacting the lives of people for the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to do it. If we don't do it, it won't get done. So what happens is this. I believe that when Paul was writing, I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 1. And in Colossians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Colossae, and I'm just going to look at this one verse. I'm going to try not to, I'm not going to give you the whole context of it because it's not in the it's in the context of what I'm preaching, but not, I'm not preaching Colossians. But he said this in 128. He says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That's our responsibility, is to preach to every man that God has placed in our midst, teaching every man the wisdom of God, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And that challenge is not just to pastors. That challenge is to every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that our message to the world is a warning to every man, teaching and leading them to perfection with the purpose of bringing the saints to maturity or perfection who are in Christ Jesus, which means that we have to bring them into the body of Christ, into the family of God. And then take what God has given us and use what God has given us to be used of him as he is desiring to see men perfected. Truly furnished unto all good works. So that what God has done is this, he's given men in particular a mandate. And again, I challenge you here today that this is not just a responsibility given to pastors. It has to be to every man. Every man needs to take this up, take up his mantle, and we need to be men that are reaching the people that God has placed in us for Christ. We have to be. You know, when you look at the scriptures and the fact that God had, you know, the Spirit of God is giving us the Word of God, and he's using men to do it. He had this special place for men, and sometimes I think we've relegated our responsibility to women. You know, I heard Mr. Barnes talk about the need to be back here with children, right? What if all of our churches, there were no females, and God, praise God for women. But just think it was a bunch of men standing up and teaching our kids. Just think of all of our children's ministries, all of our little, all it was nothing but men standing in. I was telling Brian before we got started today, one of the reasons that we live in a world of effeminate men is because, you know, how many children are being trained up in homes where primarily it was their mother and their grandmother who was the ones who were training them. And then once they went into public school, you know, even in preschool, you know, women are the ones who are primarily training them. And then when they go into the public school, it's all women. Even in the high school, there's a bunch of, and that's not to put down women. It's just the reality that by the time young men often go into the world, they have been surrounded by women, and it's lended itself to a world of effeminate men. And there's no way to get out of it, right? When only women are training up men, something's wrong with that. And we are the men that God has called to change that. But we've got to be aware of it. The wisdom of God, as they are laid out in the scriptures, are given so that we would proclaim the word and words of God to the world. The wisdom of God laid out in the scriptures teach us what we should be proclaiming in these last moments in history so that we would be sounding the alarm to every person alive during our dispensation on earth as others have done before us. So Paul said it another way in writing to the Corinthians. I'll just read this because he said it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, you know what we're supposed to be doing? He said, we persuade men. We need to be the ones persuading men. He says, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. Know this, men, clearly God has called men to lead, and we are the ones who he has chosen to lead out front to stand in the gap. If it's going to be done, it's only going to be done by us. We're the ones who are to be doing this. Turn to Acts chapter 20. Because he talks about in Colossians about this warning that we are to give. But you know what I love about the word of God is that God always, he gives you the warning and then he gives you the consequences if you don't do it. Look at what he says in Acts chapter 20, verse 28. He said, take heed therefore unto yourselves. And this is what all men should be doing. He says, and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers. To do what? To feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And then verse 32 says this, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. God designed it so that the word of God is what he uses to build us up, to edify us. Our job then is to take the word of God, expose the truth that is found in the word of God, and expose the word and words of God using them to feed the flock as we bring them to spiritual maturity. And this is not just a responsibility, again, of the pastor. It is a responsibility given to all who are called by his name. But today, I want to challenge you that there are consequences if you don't do it. If we don't do this, God lays out some things that I think need to be examined. If we don't take heed to the command, there is a warning to us that should motivate us to actively participate in what God is doing in the world and what we have been saved to do. An example of what God is requiring of us is understood in his challenge to the prophet Ezekiel. I want you to turn to Ezekiel chapter 33. And as you're turning there, I want to give you the context of the book of Ezekiel. The name Ezekiel means strengthened by God. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he came to the conclusion in this letter as he reminds them where their strength was. And you don't need to turn here because we're going to be in Ezekiel. And he said this in Ephesians 6:10. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." And what he's saying is that you're going to need strength in order to accomplish the purposes of God. But that strength doesn't come through you. And if you're leaning to your own might to do this, then you will never accomplish it. So he said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, not yours. Don't lean to your own understanding in this. Don't think that you do not have the ability to accomplish this. Because if you do that, then what you're doing is leaning to your flesh. You're allowing your flesh to hinder you to ever be effective for God. The power comes from him. The strength comes from him. Lean to him. Let him be your strength in this. Because he's trying to accomplish something through us. Now, concerning the prophet Ezekiel, here was a man who had been called by God to prophesy against Israel during the 70 years that Israel goes into exile between 606 BC and 536 BC. But by the definition of his name, the ability to fulfill that task had to be from the strength that he got from the Lord. Left to his own devices, he could not do it. Now what the prophet Ezekiel pictures, though, is this. He pictures every preacher and every Christian, every man who has been entrusted with the word of God and the words of God and what we are to do with them during a time when people are being held captive to the things of this world. We live in a world that is in exile. Fentanyl has taken over the streets. It don't just happen in Independence. I guarantee you that here in Harrisonville, between methamphetamines and fentanyl and everything else, these streets are ravished. People are in exile. And you know what God always does? He reaches out and he finds men that he's called to be the voice of God, to reach people for Christ. And we are those people. We are the ones that he has chosen to reach the world. And if we don't do it, there is a consequence. Has called us. We need to reach people who are in captivity because the God of this world, who is the true enemy, is out to destroy all of the work of God. God is our strength. He has given us his word to minister to the hearts of men before the return of the Lord. So let's begin in Ezekiel chapter 33. And he says this in verse 1. He says, "Again, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman. If when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he bloweth a trumpet and warn the people. Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning." I got it. We live in 2023. I can stop it on my words. Verse 4. "Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head." He heard the sound of the trumpet. and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh the warning shall deliver his soul. Men, this is our watch right now. It's 2023. We are the watchmen. This is our watch. This is on us. We're it. If it doesn't get done by us, what do we expect? To go and put legislators in place so that they could do our job? Because that's what we've relegated ourselves to doing. When you study the watch system in Scripture, which along with the day system, the times, and the seasons, and the hour system, you come to the understanding that we are in the fourth watch in history that shows us the approximate time of the second coming. Our watch started in 1500 AD, and it covers the morning watch and is going to run until we get raptured out of here. This is our watch. This is us. A watchman is a sentinel. He's a guard. In military terms, a sentinel is a soldier sent to watch or guard an army, camp, or other place from surprise to observe the approach of danger and give notice to it. As soldiers of Christ, you and I are the watchmen of our day, who have been entrusted with a two-edged sword to reach the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. Until the Lord returns, our responsibility is to blow the trumpet, sound the alarm, proclaim the truth of the word of God, warning people to repent. Why? Because the day of the Lord is at hand. Whether they obey or not, our command is not to worry about that. You know what our command to do is to do? Preach it. Proclaim it. Don't worry about the outcome. Don't worry about who rejects the message. You preach it. And you preach it with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your might. Praise God for the people who came into my life and were willing to stand in the gap and proclaim the truth. They didn't care whether or not I believed it or not. They preached it to me. And by the grace, let the Holy Spirit of God do the rest. We are trying to figure everything out, lean into our own understanding. Always try to think, well, what if I go to this group or I just go? Don't worry about the outcome. Just do it. God is going to deal with the rest. So look at verse 4. He says this, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. Every man is going to have to give an account for himself at the end of the day. We don't force the word of God down someone's throat. God's responsibility is to sift through the wheat and the tares because God has given us a book. And you know what the responsibility of this book is to do? Divide. God divides it up. That's what he get. We just preach it. And let the chips fall where they may. But as for us, we have a responsibility. We have a duty to proclaim the truth, knowing that we are going to be held accountable ourselves. At the judgment seat of Christ, God is going to judge us for what we did with his word. What did you do with what I gave you? How did you handle it? He's going to judge us either for our obedience or our disobedience to the call. And there are consequences. Look at verse 6. He says, but if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But the blood, look at what he says, will I require at the watchman's hand. You've been given everything we need in order for us to be effective in this world. We don't need anything else. We got the church of God. We got the spirit of God. We got the word of God. We got everything we need. We are fully equipped to reach the world for Christ. But if we don't do it, there's a consequence. And that consequence is going to be meted out at the judgment seat of Christ. Not because of the sin that you did. Because the problem is this, the time that you have, what did you not do? Because now you're going to lose reward. Because you took what God gave you and I love the fact that Brian got this open to the Bible here, you know, because I know him. But you know how many homes it's got a book with a Bible open to it. And every now and then they come and go. As soldiers of Christ, we have been issued a two-edged sword called the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It is the completed revelation of God represented by the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the word. As we watch and pray, waiting for his return, what we are to do is be used of God to use this book to pierce the hearts of men with the truth that is found in it. It is the weapon of our warfare that will give us the victory in this spiritual battle that we are waging with an invisible enemy who is out to destroy the things of God, the people of God, and to snatch away the souls of men. We have been called to use it to defend the truth during our watch. The problem is that most people are asleep. Most believers are entangled with the affairs of this life. We're so caught up in our situations, our circumstances, our stuff, our marriages, our children, our car, our house, our finances, our job, our neighborhood, our trees, and our yard. We're just entangled, man. Why our neighbor dies and goes to hell and we never tell him about the Lord Jesus Christ, but he knows where we stand politically and who we support. Something's wrong. It's the day that we come to. Says this in Romans 13. You can write this down, verse 11 to 12. He says, in that knowing the time, turn there. Go ahead and turn to Romans 13. Let's look at this. Keep your hand, though, because we're coming back to Ezekiel. Okay. Look at what he says in Romans 13, starting in verse 11. Romans 13, verse 11 and 12. He says, in that, knowing the time, you know what time it is. And if you don't know it, my plan is that when you leave here, you know what time it is. No. So you'll be without excuse. He says, in knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake up. He said, wake up. Christian, you're asleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. He said, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. That's where we've got to be, man. And we've got to preach messages that you know what? Our design is this. Wake up. Wake up. We have the responsibility to use this book to prevent people from being taken away in his iniquity. But if you do not use it properly, there's a consequence at the judgment seat of Christ for you. Every one of us who are saved at the moment of salvation, you know what you were immediately given? And you guys have been around me for a little while know that I preach this all the time. You were immediately given a ministry. It's called the ministry of reconciliation. The only thing you got to do is tell somebody what somebody told you. That's all you got to do. This ministry is to be used to reach the masses with the message of the gospel. But there's a warning that we have been given. It's a mandate if we don't use it properly. Turn with me real quick. I got to get you in and out of here because I can see some of y'all going to sleep on me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I love this verse. This is a sermon you got somewhere that you preach at regularly, man. Lay this out. I love it. There's more here than what I'm going to preach right now because I'm not here to preach this verse, this passage. But boy, it's one of my favorites. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at what he says. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, you know what you do? He said, don't faint. Stick to the stuff. Because sometimes, you know, Brian, give me an amen here. You want to say, I'm going to corporate America. I'd be better off. I'd be better off working a job than dealing with this circumstance that I'm in the middle of because of somebody else that God has put in my life. He said, just don't give up, though. Don't faint. He says, but here's the key, I believe, to the success of being effective in the lives of people. He says, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty in your own life. He says, not walking in craftiness, and here's a good one, nor handling the word of God to deceive people. Because we have a powerful tool. The weapon of our warfare is so powerful that you can become a Jim Jones using it. He says, but what are we to do? He says, by manifestation of what? He says, the truth. Here's what you do. Commending yourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But here's our challenge. But if our gospel be hid, if we're not out here sounding the alarm, if we're not out here warning people, if we're not out here proclaiming the truth, here's your bigger problem. It is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world, little g, had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of the gospel of Christ that you have been entrusted to be in charge of, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Why? For we don't preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves, what? Your servants for Jesus' sake. Guys, we got to do it. We've got to preach this message, man. We've got to reach people for Christ. Our kids are going to hell. Our neighborhoods, people are dying. And I think about fentanyl because I'm the chaplain for Jackson County. And, you know, it doesn't get reported on the news. We've had four deaths in the last 2 weeks. They are in the jail taking fentanyl, dying of fentanyl. Overdoses. This stuff is killing people, man. It is a serious, serious thing. And, you know, every time I see it, I don't think, well, man, that's just so bad. I think, what Christian lived in that kid's neighborhood that never went and tried to reach that kid for Christ? What kid, what person who stood every Sunday and said that they loved the Lord and showed up at church and had all these people that God placed in their life for a purpose, never tried to reach that kid for Christ, and now he's dead? You better hope his blood's not on your hand. Because God put us where he put us for a reason. You're not at the job to get the gold watch. We want the gold watch too, boy. We want that watch. We want that watch, man. We want to retire with everything and get all the big retirement. And we'll work our finger to the bone till we get it. And we're working around people every day, and you don't know. They're probably molesting some child. And we were the people that God put in their life to reach them. This challenge, men, is for each of us to examine ourselves. Knowing what it is that is at stake if we don't do it. God's desire is to use us in the work of the ministry. We are the laborers in the field. It's us. We are the watchmen of our day. So he has set us as the watchmen during this final period of history, this last watch, to watch over the souls of men as we warn them that the day of the Lord is at hand. We are his watchmen. Back in Ezekiel 33, we're almost done. He says this, verse 7. He says, so thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. He's speaking specifically to Ezekiel here, but he's speaking to us. He says, therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou doest not speak to warn that wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. And look at what he says here. But his blood, he says, well, I require at thine hand. Because you had not, I put you in that job. You came to me. You said, Pastor, I'm looking for a job. I want this. Can you pray for me that I get this job? And you get it. 6 months later, you're coming to me saying, man, I can't stand this guy that I'm working for, man. I hate that guy, man. You know, I'm so sick of him, man. You asked me. We prayed for this. So what happened? Did God give you something that he didn't intend for you to have? Or when he granted you the job, you got the job. Now you got the job. Let me ask you a question. Where's your fruit from the job? But now you don't like that guy. We prayed for you to go work for that guy who failed. You or God? You got the job. You prayed for that house. Look, Pastor, we get ready to close on. We're hoping to get this house, man. Could you pray for us? That, you know, because it'll be the perfect house. We are kids. Yeah. All right, you got the house. Man, that neighbor I live next door to. Can't stand that guy. This kid's coming running my yard. His dog craps in my yard every day. Hold on, man. You wanted that house. Let me ask you a question. Is your neighbor saved? Well, no. So this is your problem. You got a dog that barks, and you're mad because the dog barks. You know what dogs do? They bark. Now you got a barking dog, and you're mad about it. And you were placed in that neighborhood to reach that guy, but you didn't reach that guy because what happened is you were so caught up in the fact that he got a barking dog. Who's wrong? Did God not give you the house that you prayed for? Or when you got the house, did you lose sight of the house? Were you so caught up in putting new furniture in it that you didn't even realize that God placed you in that neighborhood? Hold up. Before the foundation of the earth, he knew that you would live next to that guy. And he knew that guy was lost. But your man, his tree, he got a tree that comes over in my yard, man. I'm about sick of that tree, man. That's where we go. He says this in verse 7, O son, thou son of man, I have set thee a watchman, right? And if you don't do what you're supposed to, he said, I'm going to require his blood. Here's the deal, what we need to do. We need to be telling the wicked of the consequences for his rejection of the word of God, because we know that the consequence for us is not telling that man. He said, his blood will I require at thy hand. Could you imagine every person that God has placed in your life for a purpose coming before you at the great white throne judgment and being sentenced to hell where the worm dieth not, and then you being immediately made aware that you never witnessed to that person? You could have helped him to change from his way. Because you know why? You had the answer. That man's end up going to hell for all of eternity. He ends up dying in his iniquity, as the verse says. And you know how God is going to handle that at the judgment seat of Christ? He says this in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 13 to 15. He said, every man's work shall be made manifest. Why? For the day shall declare it. Why? Because it shall be revealed by fire. He says, and the fire is going to try every man's work of whatsoever. You realize every day that you speak, I say this because Brian's my friend. I've loved him. I've known him long before he ever had a church. Okay? You realize when he stands before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, God is not going to judge him because he started HBF. Do you realize that his the thing out, the Bible conference, Randy, all, if God's going, when they come before the Lord, this is what's going to happen. The God is not going to say, you started Heartland, you reached people, you went on missions, you had missionaries that you were supporting. And God's going to say, let's just put it in the fire. Let's let the fire try not what you did, but why did you do it? Because see, I don't need you, but I want to use you. I can accomplish this on my own. I can send down a legion of angels to do the work of the Lord. I don't need you. But let's look at Brian Hedges. And I get to mess with him since he's up front. Because I love this guy. I do. God's just going to look at him and say, why'd you do it? You don't get the idea. Well, Lord, let's just put it in the fire. Let's let the fire try it. See of what sort it is. While you're laying prostrate. Let's just let the fire try. If any man's work abide which he had built thereupon, he gets a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he suffers loss. God, see how simple that is? If you did it right, reward. You didn't? Wood, hay, stubble. Whether you told others of what God has said is going to be judged in the fire. You will either get a reward or you are going to suffer loss, but the mercy of God is that you will be saved from the fire that issues the loss. The same fire that consumes is the same fire that refines. The same fire that refines is the same fire that saves. So Ezekiel goes on and he says this last verse and that we're going to look at today in verse Ezekiel 33:9. I could have preached the whole chapter, but we'd be here all night. So I ended it here. He said, nevertheless, he says, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. God has a thing for us in closing. It does not take eloquent words to let you know the simplicity of what this message is intended to mean. Here's the thing. Here's number one. We are the watchmen of our day. We're it. There's no one else. We're it. The men in this room, hear me, because I know how small the world is. You realize there's enough men in this room to reach the world. Because he only took, he found 12. He found 12 men. One of them was the devil. And we're here because of what God did in those men. So if he could take 12 men, could he not take this many men and reach the world for Christ? We've been given the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God that is given not just to help us navigate this evil and adulterous world that we live in, but to be used to give a warning to the world that the Lord is getting ready to come back. He's coming back. Here's the third thing. This is the final watch. These are the last moments in history for us during our watch, during our dispensation of time. And this is, we're the final ones that he's going to use to sound the alarm. This is it. This is it. What are we going to do? We're going to stand before all of the saints of God who came before us. Who, if you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, you go, whoa, these guys here, man, did some stuff, man. Can you imagine us standing before them? Because they, all the saints of God are going to be watching this. Here's number four. If we don't tell it, then it won't be told. And here's number five. If we do not tell it, then there are consequences at stake for those that we not did not tell it to, and there's consequences for we who did not tell it. This is a man's thing here. I think one of you said, you know, our wives follow us. Right? He told Eve, he said, thy desire shall be to thy husband and he shall rule over thee. If your wife ain't following you, I ain't looking at her. I'm looking at you because God made it so she would desire you. Why your wife don't desire to follow you? Where you taking her to? So there is an admonition given. I got two more verses in Hebrews. Turn to Hebrews 13. That pertain to who, to us who are called to be watchmen over and to those souls who were to watch. Because he gives an admonition to both. Hebrews chapter 13. He says this, verse 17. He says, obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves. Why? For they watch for your souls as they that must, here's our challenge, give an account. See, you, those who are with us have a responsibility to listen, to allow us to minister to them because we have a responsibility to watch over their souls, right? But we have to give an account for how we watched over their souls. He says, why? That they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So we got to check ourselves. Why are we doing it? So here's, we draw to an end here. Men, it's time to man up. I took a little something from you. It is. It's time to man up. Every man who is called to be a watchman over the souls of men are going to stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for how we watched. We've been admonished to do this with joy and not with grief. Why? Because although being a watchman is going to be challenging, joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. If we do not do this out of anything but love for God, then it is not profitable for those whose souls we are to care for. My prayer to the men who are here today is that you would take your responsibility seriously because the souls of men are at stake. My final verse comes out of Joel. You don't need to turn there. You can write it down. Joel chapter 2, verse 1. This is what he told us to do. He says, blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all of the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh. It is nigh at hand. It's here. And I'm telling you, we got to sound the alarm. We got to blow the trumpet. We have to give the warning. We have to let people know. We need to be bell criers in the streets saying, guys, this is it. If you don't come into this fold now, you're going to be left out. And let me tell you something. We got to preach messages about hell because people need to know where they're going. We got to stand on truth. We got to let people know, man, that this is it. This is our final moment in history. And for all we know, he might come back today. Right? But we've got, you know what he gave you? If you're here right now, he gave you one more opportunity to get it right. So you take this message and do whatever you want to with it. You know, one of the things we try to do at Grace and Truth is set up ministry opportunities for you to win people to Christ. If you don't know how, you just come and follow, just work with somebody. Because we're not here to just build a house when we go overseas. We're here to reach people for Christ. We're here to sound the alarm. We're here to let people know. You know, if you go on a missionary trip, you're not on that. I used to think that because I used to travel and I'd be done. I'd sit next to somebody and then I'd always hate, if you guys that travel, don't you hate getting the middle seat? Ooh, boy. Right? And I'm sitting between people, two people, and both of them both outweigh me by like 200. And I'm squeezed up in there like this. Right? You know, and I had to change my attitude, right? So I had to come to the place where I would say, God, you didn't just want me to witness to one people. You wanted me to be able to hit both of them. And I remember times flying into a place, man, and as we're landing, somebody saying, in Jesus' name, as they trust the Lord Jesus Christ, because God gave me a 3-hour flight to reach them for Christ. But the Satan said, okay, when you get on the plane, there ain't going to be no overhead bins for you. So you can develop an attitude right now. Right? Because you ain't get overhead bins, so now you're messed up. And now you've blown every opportunity because you got on there and you had the wrong attitude because you was walking in the flesh and not in the spirit. And now you can't witness. You know how many times that happens to us? We're in a God set the whole thing up. He gave you a divine appointment and you missed it. Because you was in the flesh. It happens every day. Here's my question. What is God going to set up for you today? And I'm only here this morning to do one thing. Help you get ready for it. Because it's going to happen. Because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants every man saved. He wants your neighbor. He wants every man saved. And he's the one who sets up the appointments. We just got to be walking in the spirit. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you for these men. Lord, I thank you that you would even allow me to speak to anybody. Lord, you know what manner of man I have been, Lord, but I am a true testimony of the fact that if you can use me, you'll use a rock. Lord, remove all pride from us. We have an example in the Lord Jesus Christ when he made himself of no reputation, he humbled himself, took upon him the form of a servant. Became obedient. Lord, let that be a testimony of our lives. But Lord, use us. Use the men in here, because in this room, I have no idea how many people collectively we represent. There has to be tens of thousands of people collectively, because the people that we reach may reach tens of thousands. So Lord, forgive us. Because sometimes we're just stupid. We're just messed up. We just do stupid stuff, think stupid stuff. Lord, forgive us. Cleanse us, shape us, mold us into the image of your Son. And he came to this world to seek and save that which was lost. So we need to be seeking and saving that which was lost. Lord, and forgive us if we don't. So Lord, I pray that as we travel back to the places that we came from this morning, We would ponder in our hearts our own individual lives, not the lives of anyone. Don't look at me. Don't look at somebody that you're sitting next to. Don't look at anyone. Look at you. And ask yourself, am I effective for the Lord? Is he actually using me in this job that I work in? How many people am I maybe exposed to that I could be reaching for Christ? And if I am, where are they? Lord, we love you. And I love you for who you are. Use us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Can you hear me? Good. Dude, that was really good. I've never felt so more at peace after being yelled at. It is fantastic, brother. So one verse that you can turn to that I don't want to add to what he, like, that would, dude, that was beautiful. Like, everything you said is truly an illustration. So I want to give a testimony actually to add on to what he was saying. So if you want to turn to John chapter 3, verse 30. And he said this verse in his prayer before he ever started. And, it's just so fitting because that's the foundation of everything else that he just taught. And like I said, I don't want to add to it that, like, there's no capping that. That was fantastic. But, John, chapter 3, verse 30 says, he must increase, but I must decrease. So he talked about strength. The strength is not he must increase. We know that he's going to increase. He's up here. There is no putting him down here. But that's what we do. The strength in itself, us as men, is the first three letters after that. It says, but I must. That is true strength. To be able to make ourselves decrease so he can increase. Like, we have to put him up here, and we have to stay down here. There's a situation at my house that happened last night about 10 o'clock. I knew I had to get up early this morning. I had to get my son up early this morning to come here, to cook, you know, to have that perspective of, you know, having the opportunity to have you guys out here. We wanted this to be great, and it turned out fantastic. But last night, I didn't think it would. We get home, and it's super late. It's like 10 o'clock. Had a long day at work, and then I go to get in the shower. My wife gets in the shower. She gets out, and she's like, well, you know, there's water floating in our shower. And we have a stand-up shower in our master bathroom. And I'm like, okay. So I tried plunging everything. You know, we circle around plunging and plunging and plunging. And it only gets worse. And I will not describe the water that was in one of my tubs. But with a house full of seven people, we have five kids. So there's seven people using the restroom that's been backing up for who knows how long. And last night, it chose to finally surface and not go down. And I don't have a snake. I'm not a plumber. I'm literally just plunging every room for 2 hours. And then I finally go downstairs. My brother calls me, and he's like, oh, you could do this. And so I went down there to try it. And it's like 11:30. I'm in the flesh, super in the flesh, because I was up at 4:30 yesterday morning. It's been a long day. I was tired. And last night I got to play in things that should not be played in, because I am not a plumber. That's not my career. So I go down there, and we have our main has a access. So, my wife's down there. She brought me some hose. My brother's like, just hook it up to the water heater. Just put it in there, shove it in, and turn it on full blast. Well, he didn't tell me was that you need to take that cap that hold on the main off very, very slowly. I did not do that. It was a fire hydrant of everything that would spread across my bed. I had a little tote underneath there. Cause I'm like, oh, it'll just drain in there. I'll dump it in my sump pump right next to it. Literally, this is why I'm not a plumber. I didn't think this through. I stood in front of it. And I turned it, and then I'm just like, okay. So I see it dripping. I'm like, that's cool. You know, it'll drain in there. Everything upstairs is backed up. It has water up. Like, my stand-up shower is literally over, like, about to overflow. My other tub is almost full. So I'm like, there, cause, you know, I had to keep trying, right? It's going to plunge eventually. Everything was full. All my lines on the house. I literally take it off. And it was, I have no clue. It was a God thing. Because I moved. And it literally just got my back half. Which was enough for what came out of there. Trust me. But it was this right here. But I must decrease. I wasn't decrease. I was very, after I was standing there, soaked. Soaked in stuff that I should not be soaked in, watching my whole basement just flood with everything you can imagine for 10 minutes. Like, literally, I don't know what my kids eat. I don't know any of that stuff, but my gosh, I'm wondering if I didn't empty the whole block, because that was a lot. But it's the point that I was super mad after that. And it was like 12 o'clock. I knew I had to get in the shower. Well, I can't get in the shower because everything's backing up, right? So I'm just irritated, and I'm irritated, and it's setting me up for this. It's setting me up to focus on the time that I get to sleep, I'm trying to push every minute to sleep in because I'm tired. But I'm losing focus of what I get to do this morning. So that was this right here, the strength. You know, he just taught on strength, was for me to decrease, for me to wake up this morning. I was still irritated. I did get in the shower. I just clogged all my lines again. But I did get to, praise the Lord, I got in the shower. I don't smell like what I did last night, for all of you guys. You're welcome. So now I get to go home and empty that. But the point is that I had to decrease. You know, I didn't do that. I didn't do that this morning. It wasn't until we walked in here, we're in there cooking, getting everything set up. It wasn't until I got to sit right here with him. This is my 11-year-old. This is my oldest. I get to sit right here. And one of his assignments for Sunday morning class is to read the first 5 verses of John. I got to sit right here. We got to read our Proverbs of the day together. And then we got to go through John together, and I got to explain to him how we're the lights of the world. You know, it wasn't until that moment that I finally decreased, because that was the whole reality of things. You know, Satan and even God does things to strengthen you. You go through trials to be strengthened. You know, Satan does things to discourage you. So obviously this is profitable. So that was supposed to discourage me from this moment. And yet I got to sit in here which is moments that I pray for. You know, you brought up so many great points to carry on for generations and generations. It's not the fact that I have to come in here and do this, but the perspective is that we get to. You know, we get to come in and serve together. We get to come in and do this. I get to go home and play in more poop. That's not, because I mean, I do have to, but it's perspective. I get to, but it follows this. It follows that I did it last night too. But I got to wake up. I get to come in here, and I get to see the investment and see all the relationships form by one thing, because I must decrease for him to increase. We have to keep him up here, and that is serving Christ. So I really thank you for everything, for coming in. I thank all of you, Grace and Truth, for coming in. Thank you for just, this is encouraging to see so many people trying to invest in themselves to take it home. You know, one of the latest things you said towards the end was how our wives do follow us. So when we start to go off the beaten path, which I have many testimonies of that, my wife wasn't too long before she followed. And then it wasn't too long before my kids followed. And then when you start to decrease and you put him up, he increases. Same thing happens for her. She starts to decrease. Same thing happens for them. They start to decrease. So it's not that we have to do all of these things, but we get to. That's the perspective. We get to train them. We get to train everyone here. You get to train everyone you talk to. You don't have to. We have free will. But we get to. So that's a huge perspective, man. Strength. It was super encouraging. I'm super encouraged. I really, really want to leave here. I really don't want to leave here. But... You know, it's got to be done. My wife texts me in the middle. She's like, can I run the dishwasher? I'm like, no. No. Because the less I have to get soaked with, the better. So please don't run anything. Anyway, so that was super encouraging. I mean, that was awesome. And I'm looking forward to November to see all of you guys again. If you're able and willing and you want to, come join us for the Bible conference. Put your hands on some Bibles that are going to go to their desired locations, which I don't know of. So just come in and put your hands on the word, and then if the men's conference, I'm really looking forward to that. I think you're actually teaching a part of it. Are you teaching a part of it too? There's many speakers. It's going to be really good. We get to stay the night, get to fellowship some more, get to eat a lot more food, which is always good. Events should be surrounded by food. It's great. And then it's just being invested in. It's the same thing as this. So I don't have anything else. Do you have anything else? Yeah, so usually we do prayer requests, but for time's sake, it's after 10:30. If you have any special prayer requests, like the HBF men know, at the end, we usually take like 10 or 15 minutes to do prayer requests and anything that's going on in anybody's life, which is very fruitful. But like for time's sake, we'll kind of, if you want to come see me or come see Brian or whoever, just, you know, if you have something that's really laying on your heart and you need prayer for, it takes all of us. You know, James tells us to fervently pray for one another, you know, and then Ecclesiastes tells us that two are better than one. So, I mean, that's the whole point of what we're doing here, is to be vulnerable and love each other and help each other out. So I will pray real quick, and then we are good to go. Thank you, Lord, for this time, this message, Lord. It's super encouraging, and I pray that not only do we get to leave the doors today to do these certain things, but we also get to go home and to live these things out in our home, because when we do it in our home, our families follow. When we do it at our work, our coworkers follow. When we do it at our church, the ministries follow. So, Lord, I pray that just us as men can just be encouraged and strengthened today as we walk out the doors to just enjoy the rest of this beautiful day we have, and just to invest in your word, and just thank you for using Radio Invest in Us. It's huge. And, Lord, we just thank you, and we love you as we be dismissed. In your name, amen. Also, HBF men, if we could get a couple of guys to kind of stick behind. I mean, there's no rush to leave. But if we get a couple of HBF guys to stick around, and we got to put these tables back and line all these chairs back out again. So there is some labor involved. We got to clean up the kitchen. But if you're willing, I mean, please stick around and help with that. That would be huge. And that's all I got. Brian's got something.
I was going to say that, except not as nicely. Just let Brady go. So men, if you're HBF men, let's get the tables and chairs put back up. And let him be able to go home and help with his plumbing situation. Thank you.
Maybe we can dance till dawn. Everything will be just fine. Don't even have to put clothes on. I can keep